Good morning. I'll call the Senate Government Oversight Committee to order. Deb will call the roll.
Senator Susan?
Here.
Senator Zinnabon?
Here.
Senator Boyd?
Present.
Senator Garrett?
Here.
Senator Schneider?
Here.
The minutes of our last hearings were distributed electronically. Any changes or corrections to the minutes?
Move approval.
Seeing none, they'll stand approved. Last spring, when the Iowa Senate debated reforms related to various scandals involving state government, I said Iowans deserve clean government and Iowa taxpayers deserve answers. Here are some of the questions in need of answers. Why did the Department of Administrative Services and several other state agencies pay former employees for their silence? Why did Branstad administrators back away from millions of dollars in federally funded improvements for our veterans at the Iowa Veterans Home? Why were state employees afraid to blow the whistle on illegal and improper practices? Why were founded cases of violence in state workplaces swept under the rug? Why did judges deciding unemployment cases feel pressured to rule against workers? Governor Branstad has shown little interest in answering these questions. That's why the Senate Government Oversight Committee worked to discover the rest of the story, hearing sworn testimony and gathering documents from a diverse collection of people. Based on what we've learned, we've compiled a comprehensive set of reforms to clean up state government. These reforms are intended to fix underlying problems in state government, problems which, if not addressed, could damage the effectiveness of state government and leave the door open to similar scandals in future Republican or Democratic administrations. I expect the Iowa legislature will debate legislation based on these proposals next year. My hope is that Republicans and Democrats will set aside partisan differences and take steps necessary to get Iowa state government back on track and prevent scandals like this from occurring again. Here's a summary of our proposed reforms. Ban the use of secret settlements and hush money in all branches of government. Eliminate slush funds used by departments and agencies to disguise secret settlement payments. All state employment settlements should be transparent and subject to legislative oversight. Expand protections for state employees and contractors who blow the whistle on wrongful activities. Reverse the growing trend of cronyism in the hiring of state employees by requiring that all job openings be openly advertised, transparent, and subject to legislative oversight. Reform the state's Do Not Hire database to ensure due process and prevent abuses. Prevent no-bid contracts on state projects by requiring all state entities to follow formal, competitive bidding procedures for projects above $100,000. Require that architectural and engineering services follow the same bidding and procurement requirements as other construction services. Increase accountability in state infrastructure projects by requiring that all major infrastructure changes be approved by the legislative committee that originally appropriated the money. In addition, reinstate the Vertical Infrastructure Advisory Committee and review the state construction cost-benefit analysis that the Legislative Services Agency put together and act on its recommendations. Take political influence out of the judicial process by ensuring Iowans receive a fair and impartial hearing. Protect the integrity and independence of administrative law judges by preventing political appointees and at-will appointees from supervising or evaluating them. Restore integrity to Iowa's unemployment trust fund by appointing trusted and transparent leadership and updating or replacing the column system for unemployment benefits. To ensure that intolerable behavior is not swept under the rug, require that the legislature be notified when the governor receives reports of founded workplace violence in state agencies. Today, as chair of the Senate Oversight Committee, I direct the Legislative Services Agency to compile a report to the Iowa legislature outlining activities related to the oversight hearings that began with the hush money scandal. Included in the report shall be LSA's committee briefings. Committee members, you've received documents outlining the proposed findings and recommendation. I move the committee approve this document and would open the floor for discussion.
Madam
Senator Church?
Senator Garrett.
Madam Chair, I have an opening statement, but before I make my opening statement, I have an inquiry. Is it your intention to go through each of your recommendations point by point and vote on each one, or are you proposing to vote on the proposals as a whole? And I have a comment. It strikes me you've got a large number of proposals. If we go through and discuss each one, it seems to me we're going to run way longer than the hour that we've been allocated here. And I think we all know that you're going to pass on. I mean, we're under no illusions there. So that's, before I make my statement, I would like to inquire as to procedurally how we're going to handle this.
I would like to take an up or down vote on the document. As you know, I've asked you and Senator Schneider for input on recommendations at our previous hearing back in August and did not receive any from you after multiple requests from our staff to your staff. So I'd like to take an up or down vote. You've had the document since last week.
All right, I'm not complaining about that. I would like to point out that I only received your recommendations last Friday afternoon, so I haven't had a lot of time to react, and I felt like procedurally our proper role was to look at your recommendations and then respond to them. I hadn't understood that you expected us to come up with recommendations first, and apparently we had a little miscommunication there, but as I say, we only got these last Friday afternoon, so we haven't had a lot of time to react to them. But, okay, that's fine. I just wanted to inquire, and I do have an opening statement I would like to make, and I have comments on several of these issues. As representatives of the people, we should never stop working to ensure that our government is operating as efficiently and effectively as possible. And we should never stop challenging our departments to improve their operations and how they deliver services to Iowans. I'm sure that a thorough examination of each state department under every administration, both Republican and Democrat, from Governor Briggs to Governor Branstad, would show that there is always room for improvement. As legislators, we should never stop working to make government more transparent and more accountable to our bosses, the Iowa taxpayers. And Republicans did that last session when we offered House File 2462. This bill would have codified Governor Branstad's executive order prohibiting the longstanding practice of confidentiality provisions and settlement agreements, which have occurred under Democrat and Republican administrations for many years. It would also shine the full rays of the sun on all government, including all state government, including reasons why government employees were terminated. However, after all the rhetoric, Democrats didn't want the sun to shine in this area, and they would not support House File 2462. So, here we sit. Over the last 6 months or so, we've heard hours and hours of testimony from witnesses who have come in sometimes three or four times to be asked the same question over and over, in hopes of getting responses that support the conclusions my friends on the other party have already drawn and are trying to lead others to draw. Many of these witnesses who would have come to testify willingly were even subpoenaed. After hours and hours of testimony, subpoenas, Freedom of Information requests, for volumes and volumes of documents and emails costing taxpayers over $100,000 to assemble, it is clear no laws were broken, no codes of ethics were violated. Instead, we have discovered that there's a difference of opinion in management philosophies and certain operating procedures of a few state departments between labor and management. And we've learned that sometimes frontline workers don't care for or particularly agree with their bosses, which unfortunately I think is the case in many organizations across the state and the U.S., both in the private and public sector. The DAS investigation started with allegations of workers being fired for the political party with which they were affiliated. This was quickly disproved by the terminated employees themselves. They made no such allegations. Allegations then shifted to cronyism. Yet nothing pointed to cronyism occurring. There was no evidence that the new employees were not capable people. In fact, the evidence showed that they did a better job than their predecessors. So then the investigation shifted to confidentiality provisions in personnel settlement agreements as if they were something brand new that only existed under the Branstad administration. From this term, the terms hush money and cloak of secrecy were thrown out to over-dramatize the term confidentiality provision. And while it was determined one, but only one, such confidentiality agreement existed in which $6,500 was included to amend the settlement agreement to include a confidentiality clause, we learned that in that case, payment for in exchange for the confidentiality was requested by the employee's attorney. We were told that the purpose of confidentiality agreements was so the state could negotiate with each person individually rather than having them demand the same settlement that another former employee received. This is a common practice in private industry also. We learned that the reason for the layoffs was a reorganization in the construction division of DAS to save taxpayers' money. The department, through this reorganization and change in the way it does business, asserted that it saved millions of taxpayer dollars by replacing general contractors with project managers, reducing the number of employees, and greatly reducing the incidence of change orders. However, the Democrats refused to accept this, clinging to a flawed analysis that compared apples to oranges. Regarding the Veterans Home, we learned that phase one and phase two of their construction projects were over budget and behind schedule. There were too many change orders. Costs for the projects were driven up by a project labor agreement requirement. It was a gift from Chet Culver to his union supporters. The PLA requirement was terminated by Governor Branstad early in his term, and the commandant chose a new direction for the construction projects of the home. Since the state decided to go in a new direction, it had to reapply for federal funds based on the new plans. The new design will better accommodate the men and women who fought honorably to defend our country. The new construction plans qualified for federal matching funds just as the old plans did. In the workforce development hearings, we learned of a computer glitch that led to a loss of unemployment claims data. Instead of delaying payment to Iowans who, through no fault of their own, are unemployed and living from unemployment check to unemployment check while they search for a new job, workforce development decided to use the data from the week before to cut checks so as to not penalize unemployed Iowans trying to get by. While some might debate the appropriateness of the decision, it was not an unreasonable solution given the circumstances. We also learned during these hearings of a backlog in alien verification investigation that had been in existence all the way back to the Vilsack administration, and it was exacerbated by the loss of federal funds and the early retirement program put in place by Governor Chet Culver that decimated the staff in that area. Under Governor Branstad's administration, at the direction of Director Whaler, and as federal funds have been restored, we have eliminated that backlog. Finally, during the IWD hearings, when dealing with the issue of judicial independence, we engaged probably the biggest and most petty game of the he said, she said, on record as Director Whaler and others at IWD provided logical explanations for each one of the allegations directed at her management style and decisions she made. The testimony was that under Joe Walsh's leadership, the department was not meeting the minimum standards for turnaround time and deciding the unemployment compensation claims. After he left, the department has consistently exceeded the minimum standards. And I would also note that no Democrats complained about Jim Reardon's criticism of a decision by one of his administrative law judges. For the past 6 months, Senate Democrats have been playing political games with the Government Oversight Committee. I'm voting no on the Senate Democrats' recommendations today because they are nothing more than a campaign gimmick. Senate Democrats have shown no proof of the allegations they've made. The truth is, Iowa's being run exceptionally well by Governor Branstad, and Democrats are simply trying to tear him down for political gain. Since Governor Branstad has taken the reins from the failed management of Chet Culver, unemployment has been reduced by nearly 30%. We have seen the largest tax cut in Iowa history, and Iowa's back on a path toward prosperity. We're always ready to examine well-thought-out and objective proposals for improving our state government. These proposals are not in that category. I will be getting House Files 2462 redrafted this next session to give Senate Democrats still another chance to codify Governor Branstad's executive order, prohibiting confidentiality clauses in settlement agreements and allowing the sun to shine completely through the windows of state government. Madam Chair, thank you.
Is there further discussion? I don't even really know where to begin on your statement. There were several things you said that I believe are just completely inaccurate, but I think I'll just say we'll agree to disagree, and I'd entertain a vote on the recommendations before the committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
Nay.
The ayes have it, and the committee will incorporate those recommendations into the LSA report. Is there additional business to come before the Government Oversight Committee?
The request for the report on DAS on the cost-benefit analysis on the professional services, we've requested a copy of that report. It is finished, but with the department, but I'd like to have a copy of whatever went into the department for the record, and then also would like to again request the committee's examination of the prison at Fort Madison, and particularly interested in why that delay is occurring there and why that is not opening. It's now more than 6 months behind schedule and costing millions of dollars, and I think we need some oversight of that issue, and I think certainly would recommend that the committee try to find some time to go down and visit that facility and try to determine what's going on there.
Okay, thank you for your recommendation. Is there additional business to come before Senator Garrett?
If the LSA report on DAS is completed, this is the first I knew that that was the case. If that's the case, I'm assuming we would all get copies of it. We would certainly want copies also.
Yes.
We have requested that copies be given to all members of the Government Oversight Committee.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, seeing no further business to come before the committee, I, Senator Shanahan, moves we adjourn. Thank you.